Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Thursday, the 18th of December, 2025. I'm Alec Hogg and here is the context you need to win the day. Well, US tech stocks fell sharply overnight South African time as news that Oracle had lost a key backer for a data center project reignited investor concerns over soaring spending by artificial intelligence companies and the debt that is funding it. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite Index dropped 1.8% in New York, and that finished at its lowest level now since late November. The news on that removal of a primary backer for Oracle's data center project came from the Financial Times of London. They reported that Blue Owl Capital will not inject $10 billion into a data center in Michigan. Shows how fragile the market is at the moment. We'll have a lot more of that in the program later on, where we focus on the fact that cash holdings by institutional investors are now at a record low, lower even than before the dot-com crash. Of course, the exception to that, Warren E. Buffett. That's from our partners at the Financial Times of London. As far as South African stocks, our stocks are concerned that are in the BizNews portfolio, well, we are tech heavy and we did see some big reverses there. Biggest of them, Palantir, not surprising, 5.5%. That is one of the bellwethers, I guess you could say, about the turbulence in tech stock area and particularly AI area. That's down 5.5%, $177 a share. It doesn't seem so bad, though, when you put it in the portfolio at around $8 a share. Tesla down 4.5%. Meta was 1% lower, so it and Amazon and Apple around about that level. But NVIDIA, 3.8% down, Google, 3% down, and ASML, 5.5% lower. So it just shows you that the pain was taken primarily on the market's favorites or Wall Street's favorites. We did see a slight reverse in Bitcoin. That's at $86,500 overnight. And the broader indices, the S&P 500, was down by a less worrying 1.16%. So let's find out now from our partners at Bloomberg what the news is outside of the markets in the United States. And as per usual, Donald Trump is right there in the headlines, and so is AI, with ChatGPT having a valuation of around $750 billion based on the share placement that it's busy with right now. Also big news from the US is the inflation rate, which will be released for 2 months, coming out later today.
We begin in Washington, where President Trump this evening addressed the nation, using his speech to detail the accomplishments he has made during his first year in office.
And for the first time in years, wages are rising much faster than inflation. Remember that rate, the wages, just look at it. Wages are going up much faster than inflation. How big is that?
Trump also took the time to address plans for next year.
Next year, you will also see the results of the largest tax cuts in American history that were really accomplished through our great, big, beautiful bill, perhaps the most sweeping legislation ever passed in Congress. We wrapped 12 different bills up into one beautiful bill.
Public polling shows most U.S. adults are frustrated with Trump's handling of the economy as inflation picked up following his use of tariffs and hiring began to slow. After the Bell Micron Technology, the largest U.S. maker of computer memory chips, reported a blowout quarter and offered even stronger guidance. We got reaction from Jake Silverman, semiconductor analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence.
If you look at the gross margin guidance as well, which at the midpoint was 68%, it really just implies such incredible pricing strength that they have right now. And it really comes down to supply and demand. And for the most part, there's just been a real supply limitation. All of that, for the most part, driven by AI. Also, there's been strong demand for PCs, smartphones, but the real story has been AI demand.
That is Jake Silverman, semiconductor analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Shares in Micron were up 6%. In late U.S. trading. OpenAI has reportedly held preliminary discussions with some investors about raising tens of billions of dollars, perhaps as much as $100 billion. The information reports the funding could give OpenAI a valuation of around $750 billion. Before the opening bell, we'll get the report on consumer prices. Here is a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The inflation report will encompass the past 2 months, October and November, so there won't be a month-over-month change reported. We'll have only the annual rate. But that's what largely matters to market considerations of what the Fed's next move is. Is inflation rising, falling, or steady? Economists say rising, driven by Trump tariff taxes on goods. Slowing rents should hold down any acceleration in services. Any service price jump would likely change the odds for Fed easing ahead.
Well, here at home, there is a wonderful source of information that doesn't seem to be tapped anywhere near as much as it should, the JSE news service, the Stock Exchange News Service. And in there, because the cities in South Africa have issued bonds, and those bonds are traded on the JSE's bond market, the cities have to report the state of their financial conditions to those bondholders, and that gives us a very useful insight into what's really happening there. And so we start off on the local front this morning with a report that was issued yesterday on SENS by the City of Tshwane. Its 2025 audit report, it paints a worrying picture of a metro under severe financial and operational stress. The Auditor General issued a qualified opinion flagging that material misstatements mar the city's financial statements. The most glaring error, an understatement of contingencies by over 4.3 billion rand. I don't know how you do that, but they managed to. And that's alongside incorrect valuations of the Tshwane municipality or metro's vast infrastructure assets. It's a red flag for lenders and for bondholders, those people who give Tshwane the money to do the capital investment. It means the city's financial books are not reliable, and that can increase borrowing costs and impact credit ratings, because borrowers say, well, I want extra, please give me a little more interest to make up for the risk of me being able to accept your Chinese accounting. But the operational losses are where the real pain lies. The city lost 1.7 billion rand in water. That's nearly 40% of its total water supply. And it lost 1.87 billion rand in electricity, driven by theft, illegal connections, and crumbling infrastructure. The high percentages of water and electricity losses mean that the paying tax base is shrinking, while costs remain high, putting upward pressure on future rates and tariffs. If there were a reflection of misgovernance, well, those numbers, which come from the Auditor General, would be the big red flags that are waving. On the ground, the humanitarian impact is severe. The Auditor General slammed the city for failing to address the Rooival wastewater crisis, where ongoing pollution is degrading water resources and threatening the health of Hammanskraal residents. Hammanskraal is where Herman Mashaba originally hails from, and he is the leader of the Action SA party, which has did a deal with the ANC and ousted the previous mayor, Thelia Brunk, and brought in a mayor from Action SA. So this issue must be particularly irksome to Herman. The specific mention of the Rooival wastewater treatment works by the Auditor General as a material irregularity highlights significant legal liability and potential future losses for environmental rehabilitation. With on top of all of this, the 3.2 billion rand in irregular expenditure and failed projects in Mabopane still incomplete, the city faces a massive cleanup job before the report is officially tabled in council next January. Not good news. Good news, though, is a major hurdle has been cleared for the mining mega merger. The Government of Canada has officially approved the merger of equals between Anglo American and Teck Resources. There was an announcement to this effect on the Stock Exchange News Service yesterday. A new giant named Anglo Teck will be headquartered in Vancouver. As part of the approval, the company has made binding commitments to spend at least $4.5 billion Canadian dollars in Canada over the next 5 years, including expanding the Highland Valley copper mine. It is, of course, very much a copper play now, Anglo-Teck. With shareholder and key regulatory approvals now secured, the deal is set to create a global critical metals powerhouse. Anglo-Teck will retain its primary listing in London, with secondary listings in Johannesburg, Toronto, and New York. One of the more speculative stocks on the JSE, Renergen, has, got the final green light. The takeover has now gone ahead. That was late yesterday, by ASP Isotopes. It's now unconditional. All regulatory hurdles have been cleared. That means that the deal to merge Renergen's helium reserves with ASPI's enrichment technology is now a certainty. Implementation kicks off this week. Crucially, the company's also flagged positive progress at the Virginia Gas Project, that's the Renergen project, promising a full production update by the end of January. And for investors, the deal uncertainty is now over, and the focus shifts entirely to operational delivery in the new year. JSE-listed Jubilee Metals is transforming into a pure-play copper producer, but the transition has come at a steep short-term cost. The annual report, which was released on SENS yesterday, and that's for the year to end June 2025, gives some pretty hectic numbers. It swung to a $29.8 million loss from the 2024 profit. Copper production fell 35%. And costs per ton spiked 81% as Jubilee overhauled operations. But the pivot seems to be working. Copper output jumped 65% in the first quarter of the new financial year. That's the 3 months to end September. And the company secured $12.3 million selling non-core waste. Also, the disposal of South African chrome assets is set to close by December, clearing the path for growth. A local company that I like very much, Famous Brands, has secured a major financial win. It announced a refinancing deal yesterday on SENS worth 1.675 billion rand with Nedbank. The new funding replaces legacy debt and facilities that were previously used for its Midrand campus and cold storage units. Crucially, this new structure is unsecured, which means that the group's existing mortgage bonds will be cancelled, and it comes on more favourable terms than before. Management says the deal provides significantly greater flexibility for capital allocation moving forward, and that, dear friends, is what business is all about, isn't it? Capital allocation. ArcelorMittal South Africa is still in negotiating, keeping investors on hedge. It announced that talks to save the critical long steel business and the plants in Newcastle and Vereeniging are still ongoing. Here's the context. After negotiations with the IDC for a bailout, reportedly that ended in November, the figure that had been bandied around is 8.5 billion rand, a multiple of the ArcelorMittal market cap. It appeared as though it was all over. The steel giant, though, is now scrambling for what it calls alternative solutions, likely a sale or an equity partnership. At stake are 3,500 direct jobs and something like 80,000 indirect jobs, and South Africa's capacity to produce construction steel. Until a deal is signed or the closure is confirmed, the share price remains highly volatile. ArcelorMittal warned shareholders to proceed with caution. Another cautionary announcement came from Hulamin, the Pietermaritzburg-based aluminium operation, which updated the market on its potential sale of its extrusions business, renewing a cautionary that was first issued back in August. What this means is that they're still negotiating, and that signals that a deal to offload this division is still very much alive. For investors, for Hulamin to sell its extrusion business would be a critical strategic shift. Successfully exiting it would refocus Hulamin entirely on its core rolled products business, and that would materially affect the share price. Well, let's get on to that story now from our partners at the Financial Times of London, who tell us that the market is, it's not surprising that the stock markets around the world are in such high territory, given that institutional investors are all in. But that right at the end, there's a bit of a sting in the tail about Warren Buffett being on a separate page.
Global investors are feeling bullish about a stock market rally, which has been powered by artificial intelligence stocks. Asset managers are pouring so much money into equities that their cash holdings have fallen to a record low. Here to tell us why that matters is the FT's Rachel Reese. Rachel, this is an interesting one. Give me some numbers here. What do we know about what investors are doing with their money?
Yeah, so basically, all of these numbers come from this monthly survey of global fund managers done by Bank of America. Basically, what they found is that global fund managers' cash holdings have fallen to record lows. The average cash holdings in a portfolio in December has fallen to 3.3%. That's down from 3.7% in the previous month, November, and it's the lowest of all time since they started the survey in 1999.
All right. So, Rachel, I'm having a little whiplash here because it was just a few weeks ago that we were seeing tech stocks sell off over concerns that there's an artificial intelligence bubble. Now we're seeing a bounce back. Why is that? Where's this confidence coming from?
To be honest, you'll have to ask the fund managers. We have seen, you know, a number of swings this year. We've seen real changes in sentiment from the huge lows of Liberation Day back in April. We've seen huge rallies since then. And basically, investors are confident that the rallies are going to continue. I think the main driver is really a confidence in upcoming corporate earnings. There's a real sense that those are going to be really good across the board. There is also, you know, despite continued question marks over AI, there's also still a lot of confidence there. You know, those stocks do keep going up and up. There's confidence coming from renewed hopes of lower interest rates in the US as well, with the Fed cutting rates just last week.
Are there any risks to this strategy, though?
Yeah, there are absolutely risks. I mean, one big thing that, you know, the people that we spoke to said is with a rally like this, there's kind of always more risk of going down on bad news than going up on good news, simply because of just how concentrated and crowded it is at that top end. Elias Galou, one of the strategists behind the survey, told us this specific question on the survey has been going since 1999. It's gone through a lot of asset bubbles, and cash holdings have never been this low. You know, through the dot-com bubble, through the crash in 2008. So that's concerning because it just shows just how concentrated investors are and the kind of fragility that that creates. Now, Mark, there is a notable exception to this.
And what is that?
So Warren Buffett, the most famous investor in America, his firm, Berkshire Hathaway, actually have record high cash holdings, according to some recent reporting by some of our colleagues here at the FT from November.
Wow. So quite an exception to the rule
that
Warren Buffett would be.
And now you have the edge. For the full interviews and details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.